Okay, so we're in Daf Lamed Vav and Subas. I'm going to begin on Lamed Hey Amid Beis. Go over a little bit from what we did last night, as per someone's request. Okay, five lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Now, again, the idea we learned is that if a person, you know, is an ones or mafate, he rapes a woman or he seduces the woman, there's a kanas, there's a penalty the Torah imposes in addition to the other elements of damage, which is 50 shekel kesef. And if he's ones, he pays it regardless. If he's mefateh, he only pays it if he doesn't marry her. But if he marries her, then he doesn't pay it. Oh, what? The knas, chamishim shekel kesef, what? Okay. So so in our mishnah that we did on chavteh, the Tanna mishnah held that even if you're, you know, an ones, you're raping one of the arayot, you're still chayiv in the knas. That's what the Tanna mishnah held. We went through different ukimtas with that. It could be according to Rabbi Yochanan that there wasn't a hasra for malkot, and the Tanna also holds that by karet we don't say kim levi's rabbinay. All those things. So, but now we're going to learn some of the shittot. Okay, we're five lines from the bottom. We're going over from yesterday. Lamed Hayman base 35b. Okay. So the Gemara says Tan Rabbanan Arayot. We don't understand this. We must be patient. Tan Rabbanan Arayot or Shniot Arayot. Arayot, which means forbidden sexual relations, and Shniot are typically those things which were rabbinically prohibited. That's the usual ways to use. Ein lahen lo kanas v'lo pitui. If you rape any one of those cases, you're not subject to the kanas. You're not subject to the chamishim kesef and pitui. Means if you seduce the woman, it's kanas also. So here he's using kanas in terms of the ones and pitui if you're seduce the woman. He says, Hamama'enet, Eila lo knas v'lo pitui. Means if a woman, a young woman, is Mama'enet, she was married off by her, the father was out of the picture. She was married off by the mother or the brothers, and then she exercised the right to Mion. So we show she could do that before she becomes an Ara, and we'll see after she's an Ara. Eila lo knas v'lo pitui, there's this presumption there that she's no longer Betula. In order to have the knas, you have to be a betula. And according to the Tanna Bar-Mishnah, you have to be an aro also. Iloni, ein lo knas v'lo pitui. And Iloni, in other words, if a person rapes or seduces an Iloni is a woman who doesn't develop physically. So there's no knas and there's no pitui. So here, Iloni, the way would be, till the age of 20, she would be a katana, because she never develops simanim. Then once she becomes 20, she's still bulgaric. So she never has an aro stage. We'll see in a minute. Then the Gemara says, "V'hayotzei mishum shemra in lo kanas v'lo pitui." So we don't know what this means, but the Gemara is going to end up saying that if she, you know, not just a rumor, but there were substantial reasons for us to believe that she was loose with men, she's not going to be subject to kanas or pitui. Okay, that's the brisa. We don't understand the brisa. Let us be patient and see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, "Maya rayot umay shniyot la rayot." What does the Tana mean when he refers to a rayot? And when he says shniot arayot, ilema arayot arayot amash, if he'll say the way I first explained it, that arayot means forbidden sexual relations, and Rashi says the ones that are mafurish and akri mode, that, you know, you can't marry your sister, things like that. And then shniot means every sofrim, and shniot would be rabbinically prohibited sexual relations. And Rashi gives an example like your mother's mother or your father's mother. I think granddaughter is also in that. So if you say shniot is means every sofrim, so came into the right to chazilei amayin lehen kanas. So on a Torah level, in other words, the issue is, remember we learned the Gemara in Daf Chavtet that he has to offer to marry the woman if he rapes the woman. So remember we said that the Gemara has quoted a pasuk that says, one second. V'lo tia l'isha, she'll be his wife. So on a Torah level, these people could be his wife. In other words, on a Torah level, there's no prohibition. So why is there no knas if that's the pshat in the braisa? But it's not the pshat in the braisa. Ela arayot chayve mitot beitin. So the Gemara says, when the Tanna refers to arayot, it means those forbidden sexual relations that are punishable by death. Shniot, when the Tanna refers to shniot, secondary ones, those are chayve kritot. Those are sexual relations that are subject to a chiyuv karet. Aval chayvi lavin yesh lahem knas. But a chayvi lavin would have a knas. So it means that Tana is saying, according to the first pshat, when the Tana says that arayot u'shniot arayot ein lahem knas, He means if it's a forbidden sex relationship that's, you know, punishable by death, or a forbidden sex relationship that's punishable by karet, then this Tana holds that there's no kenas. There's no kenas. And in Umani, Shimon HaTimni, who would the brides to be like? It would be like Shimon HaTimni. Remember, Shimon HaTimni said, that it has to be a woman that you could have Havaya with, that the Kedushin would be toe-faced with. That's what we learned on Chav Tenu Beis. We said with Shimon HaTimni, one second. Yeah, Shimon Isha Sheishba Havaya. So in other words, in order to get the package deal, it has to be a woman that, you know, you could be Mekadesh. In the case of a Chiyuv Meis and a Chiyuv Karei, so Kedushin are not topes. Remember, there was a different limud we had in the Gemara. The other side learns Nara, Nara, Hana'ara, and he learns that even, you know, Chiyuv Karei is subject to it. But this is Shimon HaTimni, that would be. But Ikeda Amri, others say, Arayot, Chayvi Mito, Beitim, Chayvi Krito. Then it's a different shot. Then when the Tana refers to Arayot, he means both if it's a Chiyuv Misa or it's a Chiyuv Karei, and then Shniot or Chayvi Lavin. Shniot if it's a Chiyuv Lav. So this Tana, the second version, would be saying that if the woman is forbidden to you, either from Mita or from Karei or from a Lav, then there's no Knas. And when Mani, who would that go according to then? That would be Rav Shimon ben Asi. Remember, we learned Rav Shimon ben Asi said, lo tiel isha, it's an isha that, yeah, one sentence, and let me get the language of the Gemara. The Gemara said, isha haru'i l'kaima. That's to be a woman that's appropriate to stay married to the woman, not just that kishon a tofes, but it's appropriate to remain married to her. If it's not appropriate to remain married to her, then there's no kenas. Okay, let's just summarize, then we'll go on. Okay, so we learned this b'raisa, among other things, the b'raisa said, according to the Tana of this b'raisa, that if a person rapes or seduces a rayot or shniot la rayot, there's no kenas. That's the first yisod. So the question is, what does the Tana mean by a rayot and shniot la rayot? So the Gemara says, shniot doesn't mean the way it usually means, which is rabbinically prohibited, that's out the door, because there's no reason why there shouldn't be kenas in that situation. So the Gemara says, Arayot means, according to the first pshat, that it's forbidden on pain of death. Shnia means it's forbidden on punishable by kare. So if you seduce, according to this Tana, if you seduce a woman that's a chiyuv misa or a chiyuv kare, then there's no knas. But if it's but if it's a chiyuv lav, then indeed there would be a knas, and that would be like Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni says below tiel isha, it says isha sheish b'havaya. If the kishon would be toe-faced, so then you're subject to the knas. Or the alternative shot is that arayot means both chiyuv mita and chiyuv karet. Shnir means a chiyuv lav. So any of those cases, if you rape the woman, you're not chayiv knas. And who would that be? Then in that case, the b'raisa would be like Rav Shimon Asi. Rav Shimon Asi says, Isha haru'ilo. He has to have a woman that's appropriate for him to remain married with, not somebody who's a chiyuv lav. It's not appropriate to remain married with that woman. Okay, who's the question? Are we good?
Thank you.
Sure, Brukati. Okay, now. Oh, yeah, what's up? Say again, Rabbi. Oh, well, first of all, everything depends on time, difficulty, time. Time is the key element, how much time I have. I'm always rushing to finish on time, but also, I don't think it's just the time. I think it's also you're hearing it for the second time. I think that's part of it. You heard it last night, and now you're hearing it again today. It's clearer when you're hearing it the second time. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, welcome, Michael. We're on Lamed Vav Aleph. We're around 6 lines down. I went over a little bit from yesterday, and now we're about to where we left over yesterday, okay? So now the next line in the Braisa says, "Hamemaenet ein la lo knas velo pitui." Memaenet again is a young woman. In other words, her father can marry her off on a Torah level, but if the father's dead, he's not around, so then he can't marry her off. So then the Chachamim were mitakein that the mother or the brothers could marry her off, but when they marry her off, she's only married on a Drabanan level, and then she has a right of miyun. A right of, you know, refusal, you know, before she becomes a nara, if she could do miyun. So the Tana of the Braisa said, Hamama Enet, if she's a woman that exercises the right of miyun, ain lo kas lo pitui. And then she gets raped or seduced, so the rapist or the seducer is not subject to the knas of 50 shekalim. And the way Rashi learned it is because that if you look at five lines from the bottom in the previous amud, in the knas she ain b'chizka betula ho benisei, she's not presumably a betula anymore since she was married. That's the way Rashi learns. Now let's see back on the Gemara. So the implication of the brisa would be, again, she's a katana. So the brisa is saying, if she's a mema'enet, then she doesn't have the kanas. But the implication would be a regular katana would be entitled to kanas. That would be, now remember, we learned previously in the parak, at the beginning of the parak last week, remember, Remeir held that only a nara gets the kanas, only that 6-month window of opportunity. And the chamim were mechulak on him, and they held that a katana and an ara get the kanas. So it seems like, so a haktana ba'alma itla. So the implication of the braisa is that normally katana is entitled to kanas, but in this case not. So mani, who would the braisa be like? Rabbanani, the amri katana yesh la kanas. So then lechora, the braisa must be like the chachamim, who are mechulak and remeir, and hold that both a katana and an ara have the kanas. So aim a safer. Let's go to the next part of the braisa and see if that fits in. The braisa says, ailonid, 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 and ailonid, again, is an ailonid is a woman that doesn't develop. So she, again, I'm just repeating, we said an ailonid, till the age of 20, she's in the status of a katana. And once she's 20, this develops simanim, she automatically turns into a bogeret, but she never has a nara. So the next line of the braisa says, ailonid, ailonid, ailonid. So an ailonid would presumably be a katana. She's not going to be a nara. The katana, she's not subject to a kanas for or a pitui or the penalty if she's somebody seduced her. At the remeir, the amar katana in la kanas. Then at that point, that line only makes sense within the sheet of the tana remeir. If I only remeir that a katana doesn't have kanas, then an ailonid wouldn't have kanas because. So he says, so bahami katmutai gets talabegar. In other words, she goes straight from being Tana to being a Bogeret. So the verse is Reisha Rabban of a Sefer Meir. Does that make sense? That the first line in the Braisa would be like the Chachamim, which is what we just said before, that the Chachamim hold that a Tana is subject to Kanas, and the next line in the Braisa would be like Remeir, who holds Tana is not subject to Kanas. So that's a question. But he Tema, Kulur Meir he, maybe you'll say the whole Braisa really just follows Remeir. And in a Chachamim, a Tana doesn't have Kanas. Uma'enet, Sabar like Rav Yehuda. But when it comes to Mema'enet, Remeir holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a woman can be ma'enet even when she's a nara. So in other words, her mother or brothers married her off. So one opinion is she has to do mion before she becomes a nara. But Rabbi Yehuda holds she's got another 6 months to do the mion. So if we say that Remeir holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that ma'enet can even be when she's a nara, our problems are solved. That the Tana holds like Remeir, and he holds that the Tana doesn't have knas, and here also, when it refers to Ma'enet, means when she's a nara. He says, Umi sababo, does he really hold that way? Batanya. Now we're going to prove from the Braisa that he doesn't hold that way. Batanya, Abataya batna Ma'enet, what age can a young woman exercise the right of Nion? Ashtari Shtesaro did Remeir. Until she shows signs of puberty, according to Remeir, the two pubic hairs. So it means until she becomes a nara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Archibesh Shakor Laban. And Rabbi Yehuda says, till the black exceeds the white. The white is her skin, the black is the pubic hairs, but it just, as the Gemara explains, it really means like two pubic hairs, but they become long. And so it means till the end of, she becomes a bogeret, she can exercise the right of neon. But the main thing is that you see Remeir and Rabbi Yehuda are mechulak on what the deadline is to exercise the right of miyun, and clearly Remeir does not agree with Rabbi Yehuda. So Remeir holds that a katana does not have kanas. Remeir holds that only a katana can exercise the right for miyun. So who does the braisa go like? So the Gemara says, again, in the braisa, we had one line in the braisa that said that the mema'enet doesn't have a kanas, but the implication is that that sounds like that's like the chachamim. So, but then the next line sounded like it goes like Remeir because with the ailonid. So the Gemara says, Ella Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, the Tana, in other words, our Braisa goes like Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that she can do it even when she's an Ara. Uviktana Sabalak Rameir, meaning that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rameir. So Rameir doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rameir. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mian can be exercised until she's a Bogeret. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, we think, like Rameir, that a Ketana does not have Knas. So if Rabbi Yehuda holds all those things, he's a perfect fit for this Braisa. Because the Braisa holds that the Ma'ana doesn't have Knas, and Hakatana Ba'alma Itla Tana would have Knas. One sentence. One second. Right. Okay. So that's 100% correct. So again, So the Ilani, we said, doesn't have Knas because she's a Kana. Right. So she has no Knas. And Ma'ana, we said, is when she's a Nara. And that's when she's going to be the Mian. So the Gemara says, so back, El Rabbi Yehuda. So the Tana Barbraisa is like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yehuda. He says, Tana Savarlak Rameir. And by Tana, he holds like Rameir that there's no Knas. Umi Savarlak, does Rabbi Yehuda really hold like Rameir? Ba'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marab. So this is Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi. He's an Amori, not who we're talking about. He says, concerning the Mishnah later on in Daf Mem. So the Mishnah says there's no Knas for Tana. So Ba'amar Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Rav said, Zu Divrei Rameir. That reflects the opinion of the Tana Rameir. And if it would be true that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda agrees with the Rameir that a Ketana doesn't have Knas, then Rav should have said this Mishnah follows Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. So the fact that Rav didn't say that, we assume that that's not the case. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, look, the Tana of our Braisa is his own person. He, the Tana of the Braisa, who we don't know who he is, he holds like Rameir in one halacha, i.e., that a Ketana does not have a Knas, and he's mechulik with Rameir. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that Mema'enet is when she's a Nara, she could do Mian. So if I put those things, so it's not Rabbi Meir, it's not Rabbi Yehuda, because neither one holds both those shitot. But the Tana of our Braisa does hold both those shitot. So the Tana of the Braisa holds that a Ketana doesn't have Knas, and that's why the Ilanit is out the picture. But the Tana of our Braisa also holds that you could do Mian when you're a Nara, and that's what it's saying. So the Ma'anet, she doesn't have Knas because she was married, but another girl like her, you know, the Nara could. He says, Rafram Amar, my Ma'anet, Rafram has a different Hezber in the Braisa. He says, what does Mima'anet mean? Haru'uya Lamayim. In other words, when the Braisa says, Hamima'anet ain't la Knas, so we got hooked into the thing that this specific girl who's exercising Mian doesn't have a Knas, but people similarly situated to her would have a Knas. So if it's a Ketana, that was the question. How could be a Ketana? And then we hooked into the whole thing that it could be Mian when she's a Nara, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then so Rafram is saying differently. When the Tana of the Braisa says Mima Enet, it means a girl who's in that situation where, you know, if she was an Alma Ivriya, she could exercise the right to Mian. And that means that she's a Ketana. So the Braisa is really saying that a Ketana doesn't have Knas. In other words, Ma'ana means a Ketana. In other words, who's the one who could do Mian? A Ketana. So I'll read the line. Belinde Ketana. So according to that pshat, why does Tana like teach his riddle? Ma'ana, he says Ketana. Kasha, that's difficulty within that pshat. So again, so either it means the Pshat and the Braisa either means that the Tana of the Braisa, who we don't know who he is, he holds a bit like Rameir, that a Ketana doesn't have Knas, and he holds also like Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that you can do Mian when you're a Nara. So when he says the line, Hama'en et ein la Knas, it means that she's a Nara, and she doesn't have Knas, so she's married, assumed not to be a Betula, but other Naras would have a Knas. And then when this is an island, he doesn't have Knas, because she's a Ketana. That's the way it went. And then we try another Pshat, to say that no, Mima'ena means any girl who's, you know, who's capable of doing Miyun, you know, in a similar age bracket, you know, which that would be Ketana, but that didn't fit in so well. Okay, who's a question that comes to us, anything we did so far? Right. Okay, any other questions comes to us? All right, let's keep moving. Okay, so now we're around 20 lines from the bottom. Ilonid, ain't a lo kas lo pitui. So we said it in the Brisa, an Ilonid, who we said it before, is a woman who doesn't develop simanim. She doesn't collect knas and not pitui, because she's either katana, and the Tana of the Brisa holds katana doesn't have knas, or Bogeret certainly doesn't collect it. He says, so she doesn't get the knas, the 50 shkalim, if the man rapes her, or if the man seduces her, she doesn't get the 50 shkalim there. And then that's only if he doesn't marry her. We're meaning we post a contradiction from another Brisa. Ha-chereshet is the deaf mute, the woman. Ha-shota, the woman who is insane. Ha-ailonit, we discussed already. Yeshlehen knas, yeshlem tanat betulim. They do get a knas. So this says, punkfaker. So we just said that Ailonit doesn't have a knas in Pitui, and this says an Ailonit does have a knas. And the yeshlem tanat betulim means that the man could argue, I didn't find her to be a betula, you know, I don't want to pay her the 200 zuz that was in the ksuba. So the Gemara says, "Vay my rumyan." What type of question is that? Harameh or harabanan? I have an easy answer to that. The Bryce that says the Ailoni doesn't have a knas, that'll be like Rameh, who holds a katana, doesn't get a knas. And the Bryce that says the Ailoni does have a knas, will be like the Chachamim. He says that's the bar pashut. So the Gemara says, "So pashut utkari lo my kari lo." The one who posed the question, the answer is so simple. Well, why did he even pose such a question? So the Gemara says, "You're right. It is simple." He really, that was just like the foreshpies. That was just like the appetizer. He wants to use that as a springboard for what he really wants to ask, which is from a third brisa, which we're going to learn right now. The third brisa says, "Achereshet v'ashota v'abogeret," that the deaf mute, the shota, the insane woman, and the bogeret is the woman who's, you know, an adult, you know, over 12 and a half. Umukares, the woman who's been injured by wood and lost the betulim, ein lahem tanat betulim, meaning the husband can't make an argument, I didn't find her to be betula, I don't want to pay the 200 zuz. A summa of ailonit, yesh lahem tanat betulim. But a summa, a blind woman, and an ailonit, you could have a tanat betulim. Summa ein lah tanat betulim. So the real question that he wanted to ask was nothing to do with kanas, but the second part of the brisa we learned, the earlier brisa, we had the first brisa, which was on Laman Hevavayis. And the second brisa was right after the Tudas, and this is the third brisa. So in the second brisa, we said that Tereshet and Shota, Yeshlam Tanat Betulim. That's what we're focusing on, the Tanat Betulim. So we're shifting gears now. So if the man marries a Tereshet, a deaf mute, or he marries a Shota, so the first brisa, or the second brisa says, Yeshlam Tana Betulim. He didn't find a Betula. He could say, I didn't find a Betula. I don't want to pay the 200 zuz. And this Brisa says, Achereshe Vashota, etc. Eilam Tana Betulim. That I can't make such an argument with them. So he says, so the Gemara says, Amrav Sheshet, we're 5 lines from the bottom. So Amrav Sheshet, lo kash. There's no contradiction between the two Brises. Harab Gamliel, the Harab Yeshua. So if you remember, this will be a little refresher course for Dafyomi. We learned on Dafyomi days in this Mesechta, if a man marries a woman and then he doesn't find her that she has betulim, so the Tana, so we had a machlok between Rabbi Yeshua, and so the Mishnah on Daf Yud Beit said, "Hanosedi shavalom atzala betulim marries a new pan betulim." He omer mishiras tani nasti. She, the woman, says, "Yeah, I did lose my betulim, but it was after the erusin." Mistakavas said to you, "That's like your bad mazel, so you still owe me the money." Omer lo kila shlo erustich. I am Nibahya Mechi Mekhtar. No, I think it happened before the Erusin. This is the Mekhtar's. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, she wins the case. According to Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar are Nemedet. Rabbi Gamliel says she's Nemedet. If you remember, originally the Gemara thought it was Din Bari and Shema. She's a Tanis Bari. He's got a ton of Shema. But then the Gemara said that she is Amigo. Her Amigo, if she could have said, I was a Mukarez. And instead she says, no, I was raped, but I was raped after Erusin. So now she passes herself from Kahuna. So that's a better argument. So she's not meant with the Migo. And Rabbi Yeshua says, "Lo mikyan ochinim." No, we don't believe her. We don't believe her. So here the point is, I have this chereshet, and I have the shota. Both people not in a good mental situation, the Gemara assumes. So our shesh lekasha habra begamliel. So the brayso that says that that says eimam tanat betulim, that would be like Rabbi Gamliel. And it was, if she had been a woman with her full faculties, she could have made the argument, Mishe Rastani Nanasti, that I was raped after they were sinned. But she's not able to make such an argument. So we'll make the argument on her behalf. We'll make her, and then he's out the door. So that last brisa that says, Einam Tanah Betulim, be like Rabbi Gamliel. And the second brisa, which was the earlier one, that says there is such a Tanah, that's like Rabbi Yeshua. Let me do a few lines and I'll pause. So Amos, the Gemara says, Amos Shem Lein the Rabbi Gamliel, Heicha the Katana I. So the only thing we know Rabbi Gamliel holds, that the woman makes a taina, Mishir Estani Nanasti, yes, she's believed, Heicha lo Katana I, Mishamat Lei. But the woman here is a Chereshet or a Shota. If she's not making the argument, is there any Nemanis for her? So the Gemara says, in. I mean, is there any argument to be propounded on her behalf? In. Came the Rabbi Gamliel Mehemna. Since Rabbi Gamliel says she's Nemanet, Kigon Zuk, Tach Picha Leilemu. This is a case, Gwarakwitz has taken Mishlei, that means open the mouth of the mute person. In other words, that sometimes we as the Bezdin will make tainas on behalf of the litigant. So here's a case that we'll make a taina on behalf of the litigant, and it's a winning taina, and we're entitled to do that, and that's something we should do, right? So, again, all right, so any other questions? What's up? Again, let's go over. One brisa says that it would say, right, chereshet or shota, that there is a tanis betulim. And then the second one says there's no tanis betulim. So if it's no tanis betulim, the husband loses the case. In other words, that means the husband loses the case. So the Gemara says that brisa that says there's no tanis betulim goes like Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says that if the woman says, Misha erastani nenasti, I was raped after the erasin, the husband's out the door. Here, this woman can't make any arguments on her behalf. She's a chereshet or she's a shota. So, but the Gemara says we can make the arguments on her behalf and say this is the argument. And so then, right. And then the other one's like Rabbi Yeshua, which is even if she would make the argument, we wouldn't believe her. So, right. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Everybody good? All right. This is further the Gemara. All right. So now, we're two lines from the bottom on Lamed Vavam and Aleph. Okay. Va'amarav. Oh, I'm sorry. So Va'habogeret Ein Latanat Betulim. So again, now we're shifting to this to the last brisa that we did, right? Va'habogeret Ein Latanat Betulim. Right. So Bogeret is a woman who's an adult woman. You can't make a taina that she's not a betula. So in other words, the husband can't make a winning argument that way. So Vahamarav, Bogeret no nimla rishon. What do you mean? In other words, the Gemara thinks that a Bogeret has automatically, there's lots of Gemaras over there, there's a whole pile. You have? Okay, good. We're on Lamed Vavam and Aleph, two lines from the bottom. Okay. So the Gemara says, Vahamarav, Bogeret no nimla rishon. The Rav says, in other words, the Gemara assumes that a Bogeret loses the Betulim as a matter of course. And so you can't make a Tanis Betulim that's like Betula. So the Gemara says, "I'm a Rav, but carry no nimla la rishon." Rav says, "This is not halakha l'maisa." Rav says that a man, if he's the first night of marriage, if she's not married before, even though she's a bogera, any blood that comes out, he consumes damnita, and he can keep having, you know, it's not damnita, right? It's dam betulim, right? So if you look in Rashi, four lines from the bottom, ubol kam bilo. In other words, he can have, you know, intimacy with her or, you know, relations with her several times, the Talinan called them Mishal Toalai, the Dam Betulim, that all the blood is presumably Dam Betulim. So what do you mean that you know, they can't have a Tana Betulim? She's not a Betula. So here, again, that's not Halach L'maisa. Today, we're Choshesh that it is Dam Nida, even though it's Dam Betulim and you have to be Porish from her right away. Okay, so the Gemara says, so the top line on Lamed Bav Beis, 36 feet, the top line, page 72. So the Gemara says, "Ita katayin tana damim hachinami." So the Gemara says, if the husband would say, I didn't find any blood in Achinami. He could make such a taina, and that would be a winning argument. In other words, he could make such a taina if she's a bogeret. He says, "Hachamai eskinan." What's the case that the Bryce is speaking about? The katayin tanat petach patuach, meaning he doesn't have any evidence. In other words, he didn't keep the bed sheets, whatever, about the blood, not the blood, the whole thing. But he says a different taina. He says tanat petach patuach, that the vaginal canal was too loose. In other words, he's alleging that she, had been around before. So that's what the Gemara is saying. If he doesn't have anything like the bed sheet or anything like that, prove whether it was done betulim or not, so ema tanat betulim, Garrett, I can't make a taina that, it was like petat patuach. It's not a winning argument with that. He says, but if she's the nar or a katana, then he can make the argument. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Line 3. So Sumcha says in the name of Rameir. Mishum usually means he has a Masorah from Rameir, or that wasn't his regular Rebbe. So Sumcha, they're both Tanaim. So in the name of Rameir, Asuma, if she's a blind girl, he, the husband, can't make a taima. I didn't find betulim with her. So the Gemara says, my time to Sumcha. So what's the reason for Sumcha? Why can't he make such a taima? Because the Summa, the girl who's blind, the Gemara assumes that she keeps falling on the ground. As a result of that, she loses her betulim. So the Gemara says, but everybody flops, down on the ground sometime or another. So the Gemara says, Kulu Ro'odomar Le'iman. Like all the girls, when they fall down and they'll show their mother, whatever, then, blood, or this, that, the other. And then the mother will tell the husband. And if she doesn't tell the husband, then in Akanami, that's Mechachtaus. She doesn't know to show or anything like that. So it means that any man who marries a blind woman is on notice that she may not be a betula. That's the way Sumchas is saying it. In other words, don't express, not shock or surprise that she's not a betula. There's the presumption at law that she lost the betulim as a result of, her falls. That expression says a lot for him. Okay, now, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, on line 8. Okay, everybody good? Any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay. We said that this is going back to the original Braisa that we started the daf with. So, Braisa number one. That if we didn't know what this means, but the Maskan of the Gemara is if there was a whole rumor about, or more than a rumor, evidence that she was a loose woman, see, she can't claim it. There's no Knas, and there's no 50 shkalim in the case of pitui. So it's saying mishum shemra. So we don't know what this means yet, right now. Hayotze mishum shemra bat skilahi. So the Gemara thinks that the shemra is more like in the classic case of the shemra. If you look in the Chumash, where does mostly shemra come? It's in Parshas Ki Tetzei. A man marries a woman, doesn't find her betula. So we think the case is right now that he married her, did erusin. He never had any nisun with her, never had intimacy with her. But then Aden came forward and said that she was mezana with somebody. So the Gemara says, so such a woman doesn't have the knas. Such a woman is bat skila. She's got more on her plate to worry about. So Amar of Sheshet Haki Kamar. Rav Sheshet said, this is what the Braisa means. If a woman has like rumors about her when she's younger, that she's not so chaste, ain't lo knas lo pitui. She can't collect the knas and can't collect the pitui. Again, the knas is only for a betula. So we don't think she's a betula. And pitui, the same thing with stachin. So Amara Papa, Shmamina, Haishtar Reya, Lomagbinan Bay. So Rapapa makes an equivalence between this woman, who we have to clarify more, and a star, like a bad star. We'll have to see. We can't collect the bad star. So Heishi Dami, what's the case? Ilema. So we have the case of this woman, Yasela Shemra, and we have Ashtara. So we have to have a definition that fits both. That so the woman is not going to collect the knas, and the star is not going to be used to be able to collect on it. So Ilam Danafa Kalale Dishtar Dzaifahu, if we assume it's a star, in other words, the Malva, whatever, holds the star, but there's a rumor that it's a counterfeit star. So then the equivalent case by the woman would be that there's rumors that she was mezana. In other words, not she was the married woman. She was playing the field. She was Vahamar. What? Yeah, we'll see. Vahamar Rava. But Rava said, Yatzala Shem Mizana Be'ir Ein Choshen La. Rava says, if a woman, there are rumors about her, but we're not choshish for that. And Rashi says, Apil Lakuna. In other words, the woman, you know, there are rumors that she was Mizana, the Cohen could still marry her. In other words, we don't care about a rumor like that. That can't be the pshat. Ela da'atu beit reva amri ledidhu tavatinhi v'isura. So the Gemara says, no, the case of Yatzala Shem Ra is that two people come forward and testify that she propositioned us, you know, to have sex with her, whatever. So that's the case the Gemara is saying, if such a woman is then raped or seduced, so there's no kenas. So the chabata hacha. So what's the equivalent case by the shtar? Da'atu beit reva amri ledidhu amar lahu zaituli. So the equivalent case by the shtar is that two people come forward and say the holder of the shtar came to us and said he wants us to forge a shtar, I guess, and falsely sign our signatures to a false document. So the Gemara says, look, the Gemara still doesn't think it's equivalent. When it comes, you know, she's propositioning guys, she's going to find somebody around. I mean, there's definitely business in that line of work. He says, Elahafa in hu husak. Here, the Malva is producing a shtar, and it's ostensibly signed by Yevim. In hu husak, if he's mukzak, that he's a sneaky guy, so do we have to say everybody else is lying on the same page with him? So Hakanami, the Gemara says, came into Kamahadra's Yufa, since he's been trying to forge this document, Amar's Yufi Zayafakatav. I'll say he forged it all on his own. In other words, not that he got somebody, you know, to sign or something like that, a false document. He forged signatures, in other words, you know, and he learned to forge the document. And we know that he's like this person who came to aid him and said, I want you to forge the document. So he could forge, take care of it all himself, and he'll do it. And in other words, so the key thing the Gemara is saying, when it comes to priests, there you'll find there's plenty around. The other thing, not necessarily so, but the guy could do it. Okay, so any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? So the case in the Torah is that Lechora, the simple shot in the Torah is that it's after Nisuin and he's Lomasati the Bid Kapatulin. But the Gemara says it could be a case where after the Averson, you know, I mean, this is like, there's a Tosfos, I didn't see the Tosfos inside, but Arsul quoted it. And it was not so simple to explain this Gemara with all the different, you know, nooks and crannies. But Tosfos says it's talking about a case where you went through Averson and then Adam came and said she was Mizana. And that could also be a Mosi Shemer, apparently. Okay. All right. So it's either true or false. So if it's false, so then he's Motzi Shemra. Then he's Motzi Shemra. But if it's true, so then it says, I think the Pesuk Mechot says. Wait. So he says. So the father says. So he says, Lomastati b'decha petulin. So he says, Ufarsuasim lachmes, and the father says, I have the proof that she was a petula. In other words, he's got the bedsheet or whatever with the whole thing. So then, if it's a false accusation, so then Van Shur told me a kesef, I didn't love Yan Abra, Kiyosishim Rabatat Yisrael. But the other way would be that he actually had it that way. That's what the Gemara is assuming. All right. All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. Everybody good? Everybody happy? Okay. All right. So now, all right. So I tell you, it's all right. I'll talk to you later. Now, okay. Now the next Mishnah. Okay. This Mishnah we had already a little bit before, but as with Daf Yomi, everything eventually comes up. Benitin. Beilu Shein Lahem Knas. Now, the following women, we learned all the women that did have a Knas, even though there are reasons to think they wouldn't have a Knas, like, you know, different Arayot and things like that, according to the Tana of Mishnah. Beilu Shein Lahem Knas. The following women don't have a Knas. Habala Giyorit Bala Shri Bala Shifa. So it means if a man rapes or seduces a convert or a shvuya, a woman who had been taken captive and then was freed, or a shifcha kananit who was freed. So in each one of these cases, if it's a giyorit or a shefcha, there's a presumption that she was mazan, that she was, you know, she wasn't betula. And shvuya is also what we'll see, but a shvuya, there's a presumption that she was violated when she was, you know, the captive by the non-Jews. The Yudomer, Shvishnifted Arehi Bitushata, Afbisha Gedola. Tanna Rabbi Yehuda says, a shvuya that's been redeemed, we don't have to assume that she's been violated. So again, the Chachamim hold, we didn't spell the whole thing out here, but it comes out, the Chachamim hold, if we didn't know that she was taken captive, it's Peshasa Peshahiter. She says, Nishbeti Utahorani. Michael, you still with us? Michael? Okay. So if she says, Nishbeti Utahorani, I was taken captive, but I'm Tahora, then we believe her. But if we have Adam that she was taken captive, then we assume she was violated. But Tan Rabbi Huda says, we know we don't assume that way. He says, and even though she's a gedola, even though she's an adult, that's right. Okay, now that I'm sorry, you're right. I didn't say right. You're right. Okay, she's a gedola over three. So he says here, Abal Bito, Abat Bito, Abat Beno, Abat Ishto, Abat Beno, Abat Bito, Ein Lahem Knas. You know, I made a mistake. Before I said granddaughter was Shniot, right? It's not Shniot. You see, it's Mechai ben Afsho. So scratch what I said before about the granddaughter. So here the Mishnah says, if a person has relations with his daughter or his granddaughter or his stepdaughter or his step-grandchildren, Ein lehen knas nishim Mechai ben Afsho. Shmi tatan b'dei beitin. For Mechai ben Afsho, im shalim amon. In other words, it's kim lebit rabba minei. In other words, if he has relations with his daughter or somebody that he's chayev mita for, says no kenas kim libid ramine shneimar, and this is ve'im lo yasen. The pasuk says ve'lo yason, doesn't have to say ve'im. It says ve'im lo yason and oshianesh. We've done this several times before. Two people are fighting, and then there's no fatality. In other words, Reuben is fighting with Shimon, and then Reuben accidentally hits a pregnant woman. So, but she's not killed. So then Reuben has to pay the damages. But if there's a fatality, then he doesn't pay the damages, and that's Kim Levi Ramine. That's the source of Kim Levi Ramine. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on the Mishnah? All right, let's keep moving. So the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa, Amru Devar Echad. Rabbi Yochanan says, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and the Tana Rabbi Dosa say the same thing. So Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah says that a Shvuya is not assumed to be violated, and Rabbi Dosa is going to say the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda the Amran, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah, Rabbi Dosa the Tani. We're learning this Braisa. Shvuya ochel b'truma de Rabbi Dosa. If she's a shvuya, let's say she was a bat kohen, and then she's a shvuya. Now, if she's had relations with a non-Jewish man, then she can't eat truma anymore. But Rabbi Dosa says shvuya can eat truma. And the Chachamim again, we went through the sheets of the Chachamim before. Chachamim say, if we didn't know she was taken captive. She says basically Torah, then we believe her. But otherwise, we have Adam that she was taken captive. She's not believed. So now the Brisa continues. I'm Rabbi Dosa, b'chimas tala Arab yalaz. What did this Arab do to her? In other words, he's the captor. Because he like molested her, you know, he didn't have sex. She passed from the kuna. Meaning, Rabbi Dosa takes it that he doesn't have sex with her. But you know he may you know not behave appropriately with her, but she's not possible. Okay, so those are the shittos. So Rabbi Yochanan says that they all line up. So again, so keep in mind, Rabbi Yochanan says they all line up, and Rabbi Yehuda Shito takes it that a woman is not violated in captivity, and Rabbi Dosa holds the same thing. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi is mechulak with Rabbi Yochanan. I'm a rabbi. Dilmalohi. Maybe the two shito don't line up exactly the same way you said, because I could say Adkan Lokum Rabbi Yehuda Hacha. Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah that we assume the woman has not been violated. He says that because he doesn't want, like, the rapist or the seducer to get off the hook from the knas. In other words, the implication being that really he would hold that she was violated, but under the circumstances of our Mishnah, he's going to say that she wasn't violated Because, in other words, the issue is going to be, does the rapist pay 50 kesef? Does the mafata pay 50 kesef? So I'm going to say, no, she was a betula, you can pay the money. But that's when he says it, though. He says, look back in the Gemara. So he says, so ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Yehuda hafa, lo shlo yehi chotein iskar, bal hatam, but with respect to her ability to eat truma, for Rabbanan Sefirulei, I could say that really, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like the Chachamim, just on the limited facts of our Mishnah, he holds not this way. And then the Gemara says, Inami, or in the alternative, I could say, ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Dosa hatam, that when Rabbi Dosa says, we accepted that she wasn't violated in captivity, he only says that over there by Truma, El Truma de Rabbanan. In other words, he's talking about, according to this Hezber, Rabbi's Hezber, that Truma de Rabbanan, in other words, rabbinic Truma. So it's like no harm, no foul. In other words, right. So we're saying the Truma de Rabbanan, so we're going to give her a pass on Truma de Rabbanan. Aval Kanas de Raita, but with respect to the Kanas for a rapist or the seducer, to Rabbanan Sefirulei, he really holds like the Chachamim, and Mele, it's waived. So that could be the case. So Rabbi Yochanan holds no. Rabbi Rabbi Dosa, they hold no. They weren't violated. And Rabbi says no. They each holding it, you know, a limited case, but they really each hold like the Chachamim. And Rabbi Yehuda's limited case is in the Mishnah. He doesn't want the Chote to be niskar, the wrongdoer to benefit. And if you want, we have a Gemara for you. You just open it, sit there, and you take it in. All right. And then Rabbi Dosa could really also hold that the woman has been violated by Truma de Rabbanan, and he'll give her a pass with that. That's what we think. So one second. All right. So let's see back on the Gemara. So Amar Li Abaye. What? Well, that's one example, but it could be Perot of Eretz Yisrael, let's say like fruit, you know, things like that, remember? Okay, so Amar Li Abaye, so Abaye says to Rabbi, remember, Rabbi was his uncle and his Rebbe. So Amar Li Abaye, v'tamid Rabbi Yehuda hacha shal yechotei niskarhu, you mean, according to your pshat, Rabbi, the pshat in the Mishnah is, Rabbi Yehuda's whole pshat is he doesn't want the wrongdoer to benefit. That's his whole pshat. Otherwise, he holds like the Chachamim. But we learn another brisa, which is going to be hard to fit into that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shavu Yishnishbeit, that if a woman was taken captive, Harehi B'Kedushata, she remains in her Kedusha, in other words, that she's not absolutely violated. Afilu Bat Eser Shanim, even if she's 10 years old, Shubatama Tayim. Her Ksuba is 200 Zuz for a Betula, like the same for a Betula. Bahatam, Mai Shlo Yehi Chotin Eskar Ika. So how does that fit in? In other words, you say he really holds like the Chachamim. So if there's Adam that she was taken captive, we assume she was violated. But how do you explain that over there, that he says that she still gets a ksuba for 200 zuz? So he says, so Rabbi says, Hatam nami, the mimni v'lo nasvi bo. The Gemara says, no, there it's a consideration, but his policy consideration is he's afraid that if I don't treat her like a betula and give her 200 zuz, so right, nobody's going to marry her. They say she's like, you know, damaged goods or whatever. So I'm going to do it this way. So now the Gemara says, Vesava Rabbi Yehuda B'Kedushta Kaima, meaning the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that woman who was taken captive is B'Kedushta Kaima, Bahatanya. Now we don't understand how to explain the following Braisa. Bahatanya, and we must be patient with this Braisa because we do not understand it. Bahatanya, Ha Podera Shvuya. If a person redeems a shvuya, a woman was taken in captivity and somebody redeems her, even if the person who redeems her is a Kohen, Yisa Ena, he can marry her. Now, a Kohen cannot marry a woman who's had relations with a non-Jewish man. So the Bryce says, Habodera shvuya Yisa Ena, Me'idba lo Yisa Ena. We think the pshat is that if in addition to redeeming her, he also testifies that she wasn't violated, then he can't marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he's the one we're interested, Ben Kachu Ben Kach Lo Yisa'ena, that regardless, he cannot marry her. So first the Gemara touches up the Braista, and then we'll spring our question. Agufa Kasha. So the Gemara says the Braista itself is difficult to understand. Amin HaPotera Shru Yisa'ena, you say that a person redeems the Shruya, he can marry her. V'hadat Tana Me'iva Lo Yisa'ena, And then we said, we think it means that if in addition to that, he testifies that she wasn't violated, he can't marry her. No, I didn't explain right. So he says, but the Bryce means like this: if a person redeems a shvuya and he testifies on her behalf, he can marry her. But if all he does is testify on her behalf, he says lo yisa'enu. Meaning, the Gemara is going to explain that if he's paying money to redeem her, so we think a person wouldn't put money down for nothing. In other words, he's already ascertained if he wants to marry her that she's a betula. But if all he does is he testifies that, and he's a Kohen, that she's a betula, so then a person like the Mara takes it would lie and for the purpose of marrying her, so he can't marry her. Okay, but let me just get to the question, we'll come back, okay? So the Gemara says, Mikol Makom Tashla Rabbi Yehuda. But the bottom line is, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda held that the Shruya, we don't believe she's been violated. So if we don't believe she's been violated, why does the Tana Rabbi Yehuda say, again, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, he said, no, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Ben kach lo yisa'ena. He cannot marry her if he's the Kohen. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda said that the Shruya has presumption that she wasn't violated. So mikol makom kasha l'Rabbi Yehuda. So it's difficult to understand Rabbi Yehuda Shifa. Again, the Tana Kama says, according to the way the Gemara has adjusted it, that if he redeems her and testifies where he can marry her, even if he's a Kohen, he just testifies he can't marry her. But the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, Bein kach hu bein kach lo yisa'ena. In no circumstances can he, the person, marry her. So even so, what Rabbi Yehuda said, that there was an assumption that she wasn't violated. So how do I touch that up? So why can't he marry her? Amar Papa. Rapapa says, the third white line, Ema, Rabbi Yehuda meir ben kach ben kach yisa'ena. So Rapapa says, it was like we should amend the Braisa or understand the Braisa differently, that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that under all circumstances he can marry her because there's a presumption that she was not violated. So Rabbi Huna Bar Yeshua says, no, the Braisa is the way we got it. Leave everything the way it is. But Rabbi Huna Debrim Drabanam Kamar Lahu. Rabbi Huna, when he says, Uvenkach, Uvenkach, Loisa'ena, he's making an argument within the Sheet of the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that if we know that she was taken captive, then there's a presumption that she's been violated. Ladidi, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Ladidi beikach beikach yisena. As far as I'm concerned, whether he testifies and redeems her and testifies for her, he can marry her, even if he's a Kohen, because in my view, she hasn't been violated. Eladid hu, but according to you, Chachamim, who say that there's a presumption of violation, beikach beikach lo yisena. He violate. In other words, you should say that he should not marry her. In other words, there's a presumption that she's been violated. So you know, whether he redeems her and testifies on her behalf, but we have a presumption at law that she's been violated. So the Gemara says, Rabbanan would respond to that, Hapodera shu made by Yisa'ena, lo shani in his zuzi bikti. The person doesn't put down money for nothing. Meaning that if he's redeeming her and testifying that she hasn't been violated, I'm not paying $10,000 if I'm a Kohen to get a woman who's pasul to me. I don't put money down for that. But just to testify on her behalf without the money, I shouldn't marry her. Like he saw her and his heart got moved. And, you know, like it's interesting because it means that my mouth will move quicker than my pocket will move. In other words, I'll have less compunction about falsely testifying about the woman's, you know, virginity than to spend all the money for her. You know what I mean? In other words, if I'm going to spend all the money, I want to get my money's worth. You know, I want to get the realization. Right. But if it's just this thing, that I would do. Okay. All right. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Boy, you're such a quiet group tonight. It's helpful for Dafyomi purposes sometimes. All right, let's see what I have with my sheets. I didn't really play the sheets tonight, but let's see what we got. Lamed Vav. Let's take a look. All right. We always have our faithful story. Oh, here's Bar Chazan. Oh, this will be okay. This is a halakhic matter. And this is about the Chazan. Let's see what this thing is quickly. This is... Okay, let's go with the Chazan. Okay. Everybody ready? Okay. Now, this goes on. So we said in the Gemara, if there's just a rumor about a woman that she's Mizana, we can disregard it, and even a Kohen can marry her. But if there are Edom who say that she propositioned them, then all bets are off. So the Shulchan Aruch ruled that a chazan is not removed from his position unless he is found to be unfit. The Ramah adds, and this is from the Daf Digest, the Ramah adds that he's not removed based merely on rumors that he committed severe transgressions, but if witnesses step forward to testify against him, he should be removed from his position. The Mishnah Berurah infers from the Magen Avraham that if there was an uninterrupted rumor regarding...
Could you slow down, please? Could you slow down and drop, please?
Okay, listen, dearest, I only have 4 minutes left, so I have to finish it, okay? So I'll try to do as best I can. But if you would come in person, I think you'd be able to pick it up better. But I'll try to do a little bit, okay? So he says here, when you came in person, you picked up everything. Okay, now, that if there was an uninterrupted rumor regarding a transgression, an individual would have the right to protest to have him removed from his position. The Be'er Halacha cites the commentary of the Gra, who points to our Gemara as a source for the Halacha. Since our Gemara does not draw a distinction between an interrupted rumor and an uninterrupted rumor, it must be that for these matters, it is not a valid distinction. So, yeah, so uninterrupted means the rumor has been going on without interruption. Interrupted rumor means, like, first there were rumors, then I heard that everything was quiet, then it started again later on. The Chasam Sofer wrote at length on this topic and arrived at the following conclusions. If there is an uninterrupted rumor, but the Chasam remains acceptable to the community, they are prepared to allow to retain his position. If, however, even one person protests, he must be removed from his position. There are times that even if there is no one who protests against retaining the Chasam, it is necessary to remove him from his position. For example, if there's a rumor that the Chasam behaves in an unseemly fashion in the presence of witnesses, if the alleged witnesses are abroad, the chazan should be removed. Okay, the Gemara in Yevamot indicates that the definition of an uninterrupted rumor is if the residents in town are discussing the rumor for a day and a half. Oh, here's it. And the person named the rumor does not have enemies who would falsely start a rumor. Oh, so uninterrupted means a day and a half. The Ma'arik adds, in order to qualify as an uninterrupted rumor, the alleged incident must be one the residents in town believe to be true, because we assume the rumor must have some validity. In contrast, it is known the rumor was started by person and people kept in the story. It's not considered an uninterrupted rumor. All right. All right. One more story and that'll be it. Let me see. Okay. That was halacha. Now for the story. Okay. A Jewish man who claimed to be poor circulated in religious neighborhoods collecting stucco. After a period of years, people began to say that he was really well off and had none of the troubles that he claimed. People whispered that it was all contrived and that this man was a fraud who was becoming wealthy on the account of an unsuspecting public. A balabas approached Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein and left to clarify the matter. Since the number of people who say that this person is a fraud means that the rumor constitutes a call, must we still support this man with our donations? Rav Zilberstein replied, the Chafetz Chaim writes that although there is a prescription against accepting something negative that one has heard about another, it's true, and it was being Makabel, one may still act with precaution as if it was indeed true. In other words, I have to be choshish for it, not that I can accept it as emes. What this means is that one can take steps to prevent incurring any damage, but it does not mean that the other person is himself considered suspicious, since everyone has a cheskes kashrut and is presumed to be abstaining. Therefore, one is still obligated to bestow on the slandered man all of the good that the Torah commands us to bestow on our fellow Jews. We must take care not to allow slanderous aspersions to color your judgment on this person's rule. This is all explained in the Be'er Mayim Chaim based on the Gemara in Ksuba Slamik Vav, that one may only suspect a kol. This means that one may take precautions against the content of the rumor, but not that it actually can put the status of the person self in doubt. It is for this reason that we find that we do not even place credence to a kol about a woman who is getting a divorce. The Maharshal explains that every person's cheskashrus cannot be compromised without genuine evidence. And so in your case, unless presented with evidence, you must continue to give as if you never heard the rumor at all. All right. Yeah, I frankly thought, like, if you have grounds to believe, I thought if you had grounds to believe the guy wasn't on the up and up, then not this way. Okay, let me close and then we'll see.